You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast, episode 6. You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Welcome again to another episode of Mojo Matters. And if this is your first time tuning in, we explore all things mojo. Your mojo being your energy, enthusiasm and motivation, and your ability to bounce back productively from setbacks. And we do this on this show from all different perspectives. And when you've lost your mojo and you're feeling stressed and you're lacking in energy, I'm such an advocate of taking a much more integrated and holistic approach when it comes to mind and body. So on today's show, I'm really excited to have nutritional therapist, stress management and health coach and author, Julie Silver, who's been guiding people for the last 20 years to healthier living in an empowering and intuitive way. So welcome to the show, Julie.
Well, thank you so much, Joe.
Now, Julie, your work includes nutrition, stress management, mindful and natural living to help people improve their health physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. And when we've been talking about this before we started recording the show, it was your work that was inspired by your own personal journey some years ago. So maybe before we have a look at the sort of advice, approaches and strategies that you have for people, I wonder if we could just go back to the beginning, because it was this personal story and what happened to you that got you on this path.
Absolutely. Yes, it was, Jo. And that was when I was 27. I'm 52 now, so people can work it out. And I did get very tired and, you know, low in energy, very stressed. But I had my son that year, and in the July, and he had severe eczema and allergies. It was covered from head to foot. And it was so distressing as a mother. I would just look at him and think, oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, feeling like I'd done something wrong. And, you know, I was feeding him myself. I was kind of partly into kind of natural things in a way, but I didn't know enough about them. So I was reading, I used to get a magazine called Here's Health, and I was reading how nutritional therapy could help eczema and allergies. So I gave this nutritional therapist a call, and she said, yes, she could help. Went to see her and thought, I need to see her for me, because, you know, I didn't have severe health issues, but as I was saying, I think I was kind of living in a very heavy and kind of, you know, much darker than I was used to feelings. And, you know, I know kind of mental health now, you know, it's all out there. And at the time, people didn't really talk about it. I know my grandmothers had severe, you know, depression at times. And I suppose kind of mentally, you know, especially if you've had a baby, I was kind of low, and my energy and my health issues such as IBS, you know, had gut issues and PMT and aches and pains. I remember having an ache in my knee since I was 18. You just think it's going to get worse. So so I went to see it, and I just was really inspired, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe that nutrition has this impact on your health. And this is what I want to do. I want to help other people, because I did start to feel better, and I did start to live my truth more, which was, you know, just speaking my truth. I realized I wasn't happily married. But about, say, 13 months after my son was born, my dad dropped dead of a heart attack. He was only 57. He just collapsed in the park, and that was it. It was gone. Wow. Shock. beyond belief, because you know, he wasn't sick at all, that we knew of. And then I got made redundant from my job at Granada TV. I was doing admin in I was in personnel, and they wanted me to go full time, and I didn't want to because my son was only young. So that happened. And then the more time you've got, the more time you kind of got to think about things. And I realized I wasn't happily married. I remember going to a yoga class and they said about being happy and if your butterfly wings are squashed. And I thought, my butterfly wings are squashed. And, you know, what am I going to do? I thought, there's no way out. You know, I've got a child and that's it. Mm-hmm. But then over time, you know, within so many months, I just thought, you know what? Life's so short and precious. And I thought, you know, if I'm not happy, and financially I didn't have to worry about a thing, I didn't have to work or anything, but as we know, that's not the key to things. And then I did leave, and then I went to study holistic therapy and stress management with nutrition on the course as well. But it wasn't enough to be a nutritional therapist, so I did 2 years after that course. That was a 2-year course, and became a nutritional therapist. And then I did a lot of corporate wellness, did health eating workshops, some one-to-ones, and I wrote my book, Food Awakening, Nutrition for Now.
Wow. So there's a lot, actually. Now, I think there's a lot that other people can relate to in terms of your story there, particularly women, when you've had a baby, you had lots of pressures, other pressures, your dad passing away. Mm-hmm. I think we tend to all overdo it these days, don't we? There's, you know, we're balancing so many things, being, yes, you know, trying to be a good mum, a work professional, be there for your partner. All of these things, I think, yeah, have such an impact on our mind and body. And for many of us, we don't really realize it. I know certainly from before I ran my own business and having a corporate career that I must have burnt out and been stressed, but I didn't realize it because I thought I was this super person, sure, this super woman. But of course, you know, my body, I was running my body in a completely unsustainable way. Unhealthily eating. So I would, you know, rush sort of Monday to Friday around the country, getting trains at 6 o'clock in the morning, grabbing a really strong coffee with a croissant, getting a big sugar spike that would keep me going, then grabbing an unhealthy snack, rush, rush, rush. So I think lots of people will relate to this. What was the first step for you? So you talked about you started to study nutrition.
Yes.
How did you start to introduce nutrition and other balanced activities or practices into your life when you were a really busy young mum?
Do you know what? I think, as they say, where there's a will, there's a way. And it's almost like something takes over. And I'll talk about that, about, you know, choosing your food and things like that. You don't seem to think about it. You just do it. And I remember going to college. It was a full-time course, the first course I did, a therapy and stress management course. I had a lot of things on it, and it was a fantastic course. And I used to make my food. I used to make my son's food to take to nursery. I remember, though, sometimes going to yoga in an evening, because he spent half the time or 3 nights a week at least at his dad's, one day at the weekend. And I remember going to a yoga class, and, you know, you do the relaxation at the end. I just used to fall asleep straight away, or go in the bath, fall asleep. Yeah. But my energy kind of constantly improved the better I was eating and looking after my health and well-being. And I thought, wow, but you know what? It just constantly improves, because the more I do, and I've been doing it for like over 20 years, you just constantly, you know, progressing and feeling better all the time.
Mm. So, and I know, because this has been more of a recent interest of mine, trying to make sure that I'm eating well. Yes. Probably because I'd lost my mojo, I kind of started to research what are good foods to eat that might boost my mood? What are the sorts of things that are going to be good for my body? Not necessarily from a, because before my story was more about, well, if I eat, I'll eat good things because I need to lose weight.
Yes.
Rather than I need to eat well for my body.
Yeah, yeah.
So what kind of foods could people introduce into their diets that are going to maybe really help them? We're coming into winter.
Yeah.
We're in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Your immune system is going to be super important.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of things could we start introducing into our diet, do
you think? Well, you know what? You can't say certain foods are good for everybody, because, you know, firstly, you've got to enjoy them. And secondly, you've got to, kind of feel good with them. And they've got to be right for you, because, as they say, one man's meat's another man's poison. So it's not saying specifically. However, I just say introduce more, obviously, whole foods, because whole foods, say if it's kind of a grain, say it's rice, especially like a brown rice, that's the whole food. If it's made into a flour, then it's a partial grain, so you don't feel as whole, and it's not as hydrating or as health promoting. So anything kind of whole, so, you know, when you think of the beans and the pulses and the grains, I mean, I eat gluten-free grains. I have like brown rice, whether it's short grain or basmati brown rice, or you get long grain, quinoa, which looks like quinoa, millet, buckwheat. They're not true grains, the quinoa and the buckwheat, but they're used as grains. They hold a lot of water. When you cook with them, you kind of cook with more water. So that they're giving you the water, the more hydrating. So if you have wheat, I was eating wheat for every meal, for like breakfast, lunch, dinner, or snacks or something like that. And I used to get very tired and very bloated, but it was the one thing I thought, how can I give wheat up? There's no way. But I had an intolerance, an allergy test, and it came up I was intolerant, which I knew would be, I just knew from reading about it. And what happened then is I just researched and found the healthiest alternatives to things, even like, you know, the best gluten-free pasta and grains and everything like that. So I didn't miss kind of the wheat, except when you go out, it's not as easy. But I was so used to then taking my own foods places, and now they're a lot better. So I don't advocate whether, you know, you should be vegan or vegetarian or anything. It's whatever you feel like. However, I mean, I'm not vegan or anything, but if you are going to have animal protein, especially chicken, because of the hormones and the antibiotics that's pumped into it, is get organic.
Yeah.
Again, meat, especially like grass-fed, eggs, organic, free-range, you know, fish, like, fresher fresh fish, things like that. Things like tuna has got obviously more mercury in it. And just have lots of vegetables as well. You know, it's the fibre, but don't try and do things all at once, because firstly, overwhelming, and you're going to get stressed from that if it's going to be too overwhelming. So I'd say just gradually just introduce, maybe get a new vegetable, different vegetables. The colours, it's great, because they say we eat with our eyes, and it's great to get, and the antioxidants of all the different colours of, say, the vegetables on your plate, and healthy fats, such as kind of like some olive oil, coconut oil. Some people are better with fats, and some people are better with less, and things like that. And the same with grains. Some people aren't great with them, and it's finding out what you feel good.
Sounds a bit of trial and error. So I think what you're saying is, so good carbohydrates, the ones that are good from natural, you're calling whole foods,
yeah.
Vegetables that are slower, sugar release, like kind of
different types. So like for winter, we're approaching winter now, so there are obviously a lot more root vegetables. There's like your swede and your pumpkin and your butternut squashes and your parsnips, and parsnips are quite high in sugar, so for some people might not be great, but for some, and to be honest, I think a lot of people that restrict sugar and the fat, what happens then, they start to get cravings and want sweet things in between. So it's best to just have your meal and wait. You know, they talk about like that intermittent fasting, even if you can wait like so many hours in between meals, if you're absolutely starving and you can't wait, it's a different matter. But you know, when you're just kind of grazing all day, it's quite a lot of work for your digestion. It produces insulin. So, you know, especially if someone's diabetic or pre-diabetic, it's better to eat, you know, a proper meal. For breakfast, I don't eat a lot. You know, again, it'll be kind of, you know, I'll still have some kind of whole grain with stewed apple and things like that, and seeds and different things like that, and protein powder. And I don't need a lot. And then I like to have a decent lunch and evening meal. But some people, if they're really hungry in the morning and they have got a long wait to go for lunch, then maybe have a bigger breakfast. Yeah. And a more protein-based breakfast as well. So, yeah, it's good to have some protein anyway, first thing in the morning to keep your blood sugar and to keep you going, so you're not getting hungry, say, mid-morning.
Yeah, because I've done some research and reading on this, that the thing that I'd heard was like, mm-hmm. and I'd always heard that breakfast is like your most important meal of the day, but I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. But what I discovered was that breakfast kind of sets our rhythm up. So if we don't have a kind of balanced breakfast, so in my case, when I was having a ton of coffee mm-hmm. and a sugary yeah. almond croissant, my sugar was spiking.
Yes.
And then at night, I wasn't sleeping very well.
Yeah.
So I was waking in the night. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered was actually relates back to breakfast, that. That was the kind of, because it had set the tone for the day.
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting, because I think particularly, you know, when we're really busy, mm-hmm. busy mom, busy executive, yeah. it's really easy to skip breakfast, isn't it? And it's really easy to, and that I would always was doing that. I make mm-hmm. more of a conscious effort now to mm-hmm. have something that is not full of sugar at breakfast. Yes. I'm not going to give up my coffee because I love my coffee, but to balance it, I'll make sure I have mm-hmm. Seed and protein and just something that I'm not sure. Also means I'm not grabbing for, you know, the chucky bickies at 10:30 with another coffee. So
Well, I mean, the only thing with having coffee first thing in the morning is because we've got high cortisol levels, like, say, from 9 o'clock in the morning. And then if you have your coffee on top, it'll just raise your cortisone even more. So, you know, if you are going to have maybe like 11 o'clock or something like that, it might be better time. Okay. It's finding out why you like your coffee. Is it because you need that burst of energy? And it's working with that. And having something else that just gives you that lift. You know, it could be something like maca, which is a Peruvian, you know, root vegetable, which has got calcium, magnesium, and different kind of B vitamins. And that will give you a bit of a lift, but not a drop.
Certain right. Okay.
Or certain things like, I mean, some people are fine with kind of juices and things like that, you know, vegetable or, you know, something like spirulina or chlorella or barley grass or something like that. It's got a lot of minerals in it, because what coffee does, it will deplete your minerals. But some people are better with things like coffee than others. And you've just got to notice how you feel. And that's why, I mean, I think you're probably going to ask me, you know, what would you recommend for people? But I would say the key thing to do is whatever you're eating or drinking, because if you're not ready for something, you're not going to do it. And then you'll feel guilty and think, oh, yeah. I shouldn't be doing this. Is just to be conscious, mindful, whatever you call it, of whatever you're eating or drinking, and try and just do it in the moment with nothing else, no distractions. And, you know, like the flake advert or chocolate adverts, when they're just eating and they're feeling just at peace, and they're releasing endorphins because they're really enjoying what they're doing, chewing things well and, you know, really savouring things. And then you might get to the stage, which I've done and lots of other people have, is thinking, you know what, actually, I'm not enjoying it as much as I thought I would. Mm. And then over time, you just think, you know what, I don't want this anymore, or you forget about it. So rather than actually try and give it up, which will never work, because they say what you resist persists, is just kind of do that process. You can even mentally say, body, is this what you want? And literally over time you will be like, that doesn't work for me anymore. And what I did is try to introduce all the healthy things. I brought them in, and then there was no room for the things that I was having that didn't make me feel good.
I love that. And also we rush around. So just picking up on something that you said about mindfulness, that we're rushing around, aren't we, most of the time, grabbing things on the go. It's very rare that I will sit down properly at breakfast and at lunch to just sit mindfully and slowly eat and savour a meal. I'm usually typing away on my keyboard, grabbing a snack as I'm doing, you know. So is there something in this concept of mindful eating? Is that good for the body to spend your meal?
Definitely, absolutely, because your digestion, you know, if you're trying to kind of do something else and you're very stressed, your digestion shuts down. You know, if you're in a stressed state, obviously your body doesn't know if there's an animal to fight with or run from, and your digestion will shut down. So if you can eat in a calm environment, just take a breath before you have it anything, and conscious breath, just low and slow into your abdomen, and then notice what you're eating. What does it taste like? What the textures, the flavors, what does it smell like? And your digestion will just kind of produce more enzymes, and as you're chewing it as well, those digestive enzymes, because they say your stomach doesn't have teeth, and it will digest a lot, you know, in a more beneficial way, and you'll be more fulfilled, so you're less likely to overeat, you'll enjoy more, and you'll digest your food more, and less likely to get things like, you know, heartburn and indigestion.
And I guess that it's that rest and digest
yes,
state that we need to be in, isn't it? With body state, it's the calm state, it's when everything is like normal, it's when we can kind of be have empathy and compassion and tackle the world without feeling like we've got to fight the tiger in front
absolutely
of us.
Get into the parasympathetic state. Yes
amazing. Okay, that's so interesting. So we've talked quite a bit about nutrition and the effect that has on the body. If somebody is just totally feeling really lost and low in energy, they've maybe faced situations that you've faced, what pieces of advice might you give them to help them navigate through this difficult period with a bit more, without the stress really, or with a bit more grace and ease?
I think the first step is just to acknowledge it, because a lot of the time, like, I know what, you know, we were talking about Jo, is you know, oh, we're too busy, we can't think about all these things. It's the first step to healing is just acknowledging it. And then I would say the best thing to do, and things I kind of do now, is just, even if it's for 1 minute, 30 seconds, anything, it's just, you know, take that breath, that conscious breath, and even kind of maybe close your eyes and just be in the moment and just say, what is it I need to do? Because you get in touch with more your kind of your soul, your higher self, whatever, and you'll just be guided. Now, it might be that you need to speak to someone about it, even, you know, friend, family member, anything, or a practitioner, or maybe read something on the internet or YouTube. There's so many things now you can just look up and just see, you know, what is your kind of next step. And it could be to do with, changing kind of your food and things like that. It could be just like changing your bedtime hours, like, you know, going to bed earlier. Because sleep is key. You know, when you sleep, you're actually healing, you know, your organs between, I mean, at this time of the year, it's between 9 o'clock at night and 2 in the morning.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It's like 10 till 3, but yeah.
Is that the best time for sleep then? Yeah,
it is.
Between 9 a.m. and 2 a.m. Wow.
Yeah, that's when you kind of heal. However, to prepare for sleep, I would say that should be done before 9 o'clock, and that's 9 in the morning. This is when you're preparing for sleep, is to get outdoor for between 2 and 10 minutes, just in the daylight. And what that does is it helps you produce melatonin, so your pineal gland, and that helps the gut, because the gut is connected to physical and mental health, and you sleep. So to get a better sleep, to heal anything with your gut, and that getting out in daylight. And that's why I think people are struggling a bit, you know, since working from home, because they're so used to going out to work and going outdoors. But working from home, maybe they'll get up later, won't go outdoors because they're doing everything, you know, on the computer. So I would say get outside, even if it's just to like walk to your car, go around the block, or go, you know, walk wherever.
That is so interesting, actually, and it's something that never would have occurred to me that, and you're saying 9 a.m. in the morning.
Before 9 a.m, yeah.
Before 9 a.m. Now, that is so interesting, isn't it? Because before that, we would have been on the commute, so we would have been outside, but now we're commuting from our bedroom, or maybe staying in the bedroom if that's where our home office is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so super interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and any one final piece of advice to somebody that you could give them right now?
I would say, you know what, if you feel like, oh my gosh, this something kind of isn't working for you, say, you know, I thought there's no way I could kind of leave my husband because I've got a child. It's like, you know, when you're thinking of, you know, the other person, and especially as women, we're always thinking, oh my God, we don't want to upset anyone. Is remember, you know, I think karmically, you know, whoever you're meant to be with and whatever you're meant to do, you know, that is how it's meant to be. So it's not about feeling guilty and thinking, oh, I don't want to upset other people, and, you know, I've got a child and whatever. Is, you know what, if you're not happy, your children want more than ever, and your parents, whether they're here or have left, you know, left the earth, what they really want for you is to be happy. So just take steps to be as happy as you can. And actually, the one big thing about being happy is when you're kind of in the moment more, taking that conscious breath, just eating more mindfully, doing things more mindfully. I just think that is, you know, the key to happiness.
Amazing. That has been just so fascinating talking to you about all of those things, nutrition, happiness, mindfulness, amazing. If people want to come and find you, Julie, how do they get in touch? Where do they find you?
They can look on my website, and it's the normal W's, juliesilver.co.uk. And I've got a YouTube channel, Julie Silver, or just look up Julie Silver Vitality Fairy or Julie Silver Health Wellbeing. I send newsletters out, so they can sign up for free newsletters, and, you know, they can just read more on the website. But I could have talked to you for I can talk to you for weeks on end about health and wellbeing, because it's just my passion, and I love helping people.
I can see that, and what I'm hoping we'll do is take a little video segment from this discussion today, because when you see Julie, she is the picture of health and vitality. Mm-hmm. So that has been so amazing. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll have you back on the show at a later point.
Yes, that'd be great.
Get into even more of this. It's absolutely fascinating. Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome, Jo. Nice to see you.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.